ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the Bear Bow Hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to another edition of the Life Outdoors and Bear Bow Hunter Podcast. I'm going to do this podcast for both of our podcasts because I found some interesting stuff and I wanted to share it with you guys. It's going to sound a bit conspiracy theorist, and I'm sorry about that. Actually, I'm not really that sorry about it. There's a lot of facts here that I'm just going to share with you, a lot of digging up that I did, and it all started with an Instagram post, believe it or not. I shared a post on one of my stories about an elk that had a scar on him in his chin with a broadhead. It was a broadhead scar. And so I had shared that, and I got called out for it saying, hey, man, you're just giving the antis some ammunition against us. And I personally, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. I hope anti says something, because then we could engage. And I think that that is one of the biggest things that we as hunters or as anybody that, you know, deals with the truth of things or the realities of things. I think that's something that we haven't been doing very well with is engaging people who want to believe in lies. And so I post that stuff hoping that maybe I'll get somebody to engage with me. Because, quite honestly, you know, this anti-hunting community is really, they're not real, how do I say it? They don't have any moral ground to stand on if they're meat eaters, okay? Now, I realize there's some vegans out there and stuff, and I will listen to their arguments, but the people that eat meat that have problems with hunting, I have zero respect for their position, because quite honestly, if they're eating meat and they're not willing to take it with their own hands, then they're being pretty hypocritical about the way they're living their life. And they're not owning up to the realities of what, getting that meat's all about. So anyhow, I sat and I thought about this subject, you know, the anti-hunting subject, and I started perusing the internet and looking at what some of the anti-hunters talk about and trying to take, you know, a little bit of information on their side to see what their points are. And that way I could formulate some kind of response to some of that stuff, and an intelligent response. I think that's something that we have to do as truth holders, and hunters are truth holders. So there's a lot of reality of the world, right? And we have to be able to explain that reality to people. And, so in order to do that, you have to see what people are thinking and what their current trends are, because, you know, the person that goes down and buys a Big Mac and then sits there with their mouth full of Big Mac, talking bad about hunters really is on low moral ground. They don't have a clue as to where that protein source came from. And yet they are not able to look the animal in the eye that, to get the protein source. The only people that don't hunt that really have that kind of, I should say perspective are probably ranchers and farmers. You know, they have to deal with looking the protein sources in the eye or deal with them before they become a protein source. So I was really intrigued with this, and I really wanted to start diving into it, and I kind of now wish I didn't, because quite honestly, I went down this trail that is absolutely crazy. And I'm going to give you guys some of the information, and all of the articles and stuff that I am going to talk about in this podcast. I will put in the podcast notes, and I know some of you guys are going to have a lot of questions over this. So I will probably do a podcast trying to clarify some of those questions. But I think this is very important as we look at hunting per se, because it's something different. It means more, right? Hunting means more than just a sport. And anytime that you take an animal's life or do a pursuit of animals or things like that, it's a venture into reality. And you know, and that reality is lived out every plateful of what you eat after you've killed an animal. So I think that we really need to look at this, and we as hunters need to be able to address this. And we also need to look at the realities that are behind some of this and some of the weird goofiness that is coming along. And I know some of you guys are probably listening to this right now or kind of thinking, wow, Nate's gone off the deep end, but I have not. I've just followed the sources, and these sources that I followed are completely their own. So these are the people that are making these assertions are part of I read their stuff. It's their stuff. It's not somebody talking about their stuff. It's them actually, and I'm actually quoting those people. So with that said, let's jump right into this. I started looking into it. I started looking into this idea of hunting and how it could be a problem. You know, and I've had some people talking about how hunting is a problem among the earth, how it actually is becoming a problem, that it could be something that we humans might not want to be doing anymore. And it's funny because this led me to an article with from the UN. And this was published the 10th of October in 2017. And it's talking about a partnership to help curb unsustainable wildlife hunting. And what they're talking about in the article, I'm not going to read the whole article to you, but you guys can find it yourself. It's on the United Nations website. It's in UN News, and it's the UN-led partnership to help curb unsustainable wildlife hunting. And what they're talking about is they're talking about the hunting that goes on in the Congo. And they were talking about, now this is where it all opened up, you guys, for me. And I'll read this part to you. Countries participating in the project include Chad, the Dominican Republic of the Congo, Gabon, Guyana, Madagascar, Mali, Papua New Guinea, Republic of Congo, Senegal, Sudan, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. And the hunting and fishing is targeted countries is often unsustainable, affecting wild animal populations in forests and savannas, causing what the FAO calls the wild meat crisis. And so what the premise of this article is saying, hey, look, we're going to teach these people how not to hunt anymore because it's not sustainable. And they go down here. This is the program that they came up with. And then they're talking about how this program is going to help wild people. And this is one of the conclusions they come to. The program will work closely with national authorities to provide rural communities with alternative proteins such as chicken, livestock, and farm fish. Doing so will help deter hunting of endangered species, which, you know, yeah, there's probably some of that going on. Some of it's not endangered species. And support their populations to reduce food safety risk. Now, this was huge. Food safety risk. And I didn't realize where this was going until I looked up food safety risk. So, you know, when you start looking at this stuff, Google some of those things that jump out at you, because there are actual narratives involved with this. This is an actual narrative associated with consumption of wild meat. And this is from the UN. Now, I'm going to continue on here in the article. In places where livestock production is limited or imported meat is unavailable or unaffordable, people will continue to rely on wild animals to feed their families. However, measures like recognizing people's customary tenure rights may encourage more wildlife conservation in their land, avoiding unnecessary hunting. In large urban areas where wild meat is sold and consumed more as a luxury item, restrictions on wild meat consumption need to be put in place. The initiative also focuses on creating jobs in the farming sector, empowering women. I don't know how that has to do with anything. It's part of the, well, I'll get more into that, but it's part of what the UN's looking at. And securing indigenous rights to access natural resources their livelihoods and culture depend on. So it's saying that that they are going to teach indigenous people to quit hunting, but then it says that that's part of what their culture is. But let's jump back up here to the food safety risk. And I started reading about the food safety risk, and I started thinking, what in the world is this? What is this? So I put food safety risk, and two articles jumped out immediately from the World Economic Forum of all places. Believe that? I know this, I'm telling you, when I started reading this, I started getting a little bit like, what are they talking about? And how did I get on this train? So I know this is a hunting podcast. We're talking hunting here, but so what they call this meat, they call it bush meat. Okay. And basically what it is it's whatever they shoot out in the bush, they sell and they eat and consume. Well, I found this article in the World Economic Forum from April 4th of 2003. And there was no article with it, just a headline and a picture. And it says, bushmeat, the next pandemic. And I'm like, well, shoot, now what's bushmeat? And so because I was thinking, man, that article, I should be able to find that article somewhere and read that. I want to read that about the next pandemic. What in the world are they talking about? The next pandemic being that we just spent 2 years in a pandemic. I know, sounding pretty scary, but this is coming from the World Economic Forum, and they're talking about how bad bushmeat is. How about wild meat? So that's the Wild Meat Initiative. That's the thing that they're talking about. And this is the World Economic Forum. Now, understand that these entities, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the WHO, and all these things, they are trying to come up with rules that dictate what countries do. It's globalism at its very best. Okay? So I don't know where you are on that scale, and I don't want to sound too conspiracy, but I'm telling you guys, this is all from their website. And all of the sources that I have, I put down, and I'll include them in this podcast. So you guys just go there and look at it. Okay, so then I typed in bushmeat, and I came up with another World Economic Forum. And this one is from May 26th of 2020. Now, check this out. Bushmeat could cause the next pandemic. What are they? And here's why. The threat of what's being done and stop it. So in this article, they're talking about COVID-19. Some of the world's most deadly diseases, such as HIV, SARS, Ebola, emerge from other species, including the coronavirus. They're saying that the virus came from a bat, right? And they're talking about bushmeat, and it's very, very weird when you start looking at what they're saying about what we need to do. It's a global problem. For those relying on subsistence hunting in countries such as Liberia, now they're not addressing America, of course, you know, they are addressing, other places around the globe. In Liberia, there has been some progress. Community development projects and programs have introduced and aimed to develop more sustainable and safer sources of protein, such as, check this out, cane rat farming, fish farming, and raising livestock. Now, earlier in the article, they say this. Okay, you guys have to go read this article. I can't read it all for you. And the more you look at this, the more you're just like, are you kidding me? The WHO states that zoonosis account for only zoonosis, zoonosis account for not only 60% of diseases found in humans, but they represent 75% of all emerging infectious disease. It is likely the risk of getting more severe, in addition to increased habitat destruction and creating a rise of emerging zoonotic infections and diseases. These days, bushmeat is being transported all around the world. That, and then if you go and you check this out, and you start looking further into, you know, some of the things that are going on in the world, part of not transferring animals out of places is because of this. This is something that the World Economic Forum and the UN and the WHO jumped on. Now, I'm going to read further down in the article. It becomes more difficult, however, when this wild meat or bushmeat is shipped either nationally or internationally, combining the potential of zoonotic disease, a poorly cooked or preserved meat, its substantial global distribution creates a recipe for disaster. While most recent coronavirus originated in Wuhan, China, the illegal global trade makes it equally possible that the next global pandemic can start in Washington or Westminster. So do you see what's going on here? Do you see what's being said? They're saying that this meat that people are getting from killing animals could be the next pandemic, could be the thing that leads to the next pandemic. Pretty interesting. And then they go to talk about, in the same article, how many people you can affect by you getting a certain disease. And they talk about SARS-CoV is 2.5. The average person who gets COVID gives it to 2.5 people. SARS, 3.5, mumps, 4.5, measles, 16%. Excuse me. But it's kind of funny when you see what's been said. And now this is with the World Economic Forum, and they're talking about how the next pandemic can come from hunting. And some of the statistics that they say are, and some of the stuff that they bring up are about hunters. And I know it's not looking at America yet, but it is looking at a lot of different countries, and especially Africa. They're especially trying to stop it in Africa. And if you look, this is the ammunition that a lot of anti-hunters are coming up with. Well, I am going to read this whole article. This came from the United Nations Chronicle. So this is like their blog. And this was printed the 3rd of March, 2021. And this is the this. So I read that. That led me to this article about because they were talking about the sustainable earth, and they were talking about the sustainable agenda from 2030. And they're in that other article. And you guys, if you go back and read it in the bushmeat could cause the next pandemic article. If you guys just read through that, it'll lead you to start looking at this agenda 2030 that the UN is talking about. And and then this article came up when I started looking for bushmeat, and I started looking for hunting in the agenda of 2030. And that's what brought this article up. And I'm going to read this whole article to you because I think that this is something that is really interesting that you guys might want to follow. Okay, this was March 3rd and 2021. Sustainable Development Goals. So this is in the Agenda 2030 in the UN Agenda 2030. They have they have these goals, development goals. And I looked up the Agenda 2030, and you guys should look it up because there's a lot of parallels with what you see going on right now with that. But look it up and see what we're talking about. Our holistic set of objectives recognized by interconnectedness of human beings and the planet in which we live and dependence on human well-being and healthy environment. Sounds good, right? And it does. You know, there's a lot of things that we should be doing this way. I think it's all about the motive behind it is the thing that we have to really look at. The recognition has been brought home starkly by COVID-19 pandemic that SARS-CoV-2 virus, widely thought to have originated in wild animals, though science is still not definite as this precise origin and transmission route. Our history has been of increasing human transformation and manipulation of the natural world. And I agree with that too, especially when we're talking about viruses and things like that. Habitats for wild animals have shrunk as human populations and their settlements have expanded. Yeah, that's true. Yet, with the new millennium, the emergence of crisis of climate change, biodiversity loss, now pandemic, disease, and human beings are re-examining and beginning to recalibrate their relationship with nature. And I would agree with that. I think we are changing the way that we look at nature. I just don't agree with the way that the UN is looking at it. And quite honestly, that is one of our goals here at the Life Outdoors is to recalibrate people's relationship with nature so they can see the realities that nature holds, because you can't fake a lot of things in nature. So we go on. There have always been human populations living in harmony with nature, more successful than the dominant agro-industrial societies of the second half of the 20th century. It is now incumbent on all societies to learn how to restore healthy people-planet balance, drawing both on the latest science and traditional knowledge of the indigenous people. Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that, but let's define indigenous people, because everybody's indigenous somewhere. That they mean something completely different than what I mean by indigenous people. But we have to get in harmony with nature. That's what the Life Outdoors is all about. We're trying to speak life into and through the outdoors, and to help people realize the realities of life. And they could do that through the outdoors. And that's part of why I'm bringing this up, because I think there's some realities here that people could really probably start looking at and trying to wrap their brain around. Now, this is when it starts falling off for me. This is when it starts. So that first section, yeah, I agree with a lot of that stuff. Now it starts kind of falling off the rails for me. We have grown accustomed to rising and, in many cases, living standards afforded by agro-industrial revolutions of the modern era. It's perfectly understandable to want to sustain and enhance the material gains. But we are now faced with a prospect that unless we find new ways of organized economics and societies, we risk undermining the much progress of centuries. It is due to the threat of the runaway climate change, but also to a steep drop of health and diversity species among the ecosystems which we survive and thrive. Now check this out. COVID-19 has ended any doubt about the huge impact and neglect the health of wildlife and surrounding ecosystems have on human well-being. The encroachment into forest areas of agriculture and settlement and the hunting, and I'll say that again, and the hunting and capture of and illegal trade in wildlife species and their parts are under a microscope once more. Okay, so they're saying that COVID-19 makes us look at all this stuff again, and we're going to start looking at life because of COVID-19 And it's all under a microscope. But the demographic and developmental pressures on wilderness areas remain intense in the large parts of the world. Those pressures have been mitigated by a limited degree through the creation and management of protected areas. Wildlife tourism in parts of Africa and elsewhere have been created strong incentives to strengthen wildlife protection measures. Okay, we're off the rails now all the way because most of conservation comes from hunters, not from tourism. And they may be lumping tourism in because I guess you could call it hunting tourism. But photographers in Africa do not spend as much money as hunters in Africa for conservation or in anywhere else, actually. Okay, let's created incentives to strengthen wildlife protection measures in the face of determined poachers and culturally ingrained demand of certain markets. Such efforts do not exist to all wildlife and habitats, but are limited largely to iconic species. Thus, other means are needed to managing human-wildlife interaction to the mutual benefit elsewhere. One proposal recently advanced by some members of the Wildlife Health Specialist Group in the International Union of Conservation of Nature Species Survival Commission is the creation of Global Wildlife Health Authority. Now check that out. A Global Wildlife Health Authority. Of course the UN's going to be talking about global laws. That's what they're looking at. And the role of the authority would be to foster development of countries' capacities to maintain disease threats from wild animals, including interface between human, domestic animals, wild animals. And then they give you a link. You could go check this out, what they're looking at doing. Now, understand that what that means is that the globe would have a say about what goes on in your country. So if the globe doesn't like hunting, which, you know, most of them don't, most of these elites don't like hunting, then that would be gone by the wayside. Even if in Africa you look at hunting as a tool and you use it as a conservation tool and it brings money to communities, even then. Okay, also the international community, led by the World Health Organization and Food and Agriculture Organization and World Organizations for Animal Health and United Nations Environmental Programs, and support by number of governments, is planning to establish high-level expert council on One Health. The task of the expert council would be to improve the scientific basis for political decision-making to address global health challenges and start from recognizing the interdependence among ecosystem health, wildlife, domestic animals, and human health. So, see what they're saying is they're coming up with a way where they want to control what goes on everywhere. And I'm telling you, this kind of speech means exactly what they could do in America as well, because the World Health Organization, the UN, and all those things are primarily United States funded. Understand that. Understand that we are the guys that are paying for most of this. Now, this is where it gets back to that 2030. I know this is sounding really conspiracy theory, but I'm telling you what, I'm just reading from the stuff that I found on their website. So I don't know. I'm not drawing any conclusions. I'm just letting you guys know what they're saying. They're the ones drawing the conclusions. I'm just giving you their conclusions. Now, check this out. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is an integrated plan, action born of understanding of human nature, independence on the healthy planet, to continue human progress, to lifting all people out of poverty, and achieving a shared prosperity by 2030. And I'm telling you right now, if you go through and read all the stuff that they're talking about, It goes in line with what's going on in the world right now. Go to the UN and just type it in, and then look at what the UN, who they're backing and what they're looking at. I'm not even going to go there on here, but well, yeah, I will. Okay. So a lot of what they're doing is they're even talking about women's rights. And is that not in the news right now? Or Black Lives Matter. They have a whole thing about Black Lives Matter. And is that not in the news? So understand that there's a lot going on that is outside of America. And I think if you look at it, it's driving a lot of this. Okay, this includes stabilizing Earth's climate, slowing and reversing the biodiversity loss, conserving and sustainably utilizing renewable rural resources, including those of our vast oceans, for the well-being and presence of future generations. As government and international community work towards the end of the pandemic to restart stalled economies, there's increasing understanding that nature needs to be integrated into the investment majors, which I agree with this. We got to understand this. With investment majors being undertaken as part of recovery packages, building back better must bring nature. I'm going to read that again. Building back better. Where have we heard that before? Build back better. Building back better must bring nature, biodiversity, and climate into the picture. And address entrenched social inequities laid bare by the pandemic. World Wildlife Day reminds us the urgent task at hand to recalibrate humans' relationship with nature towards a more harmonious one. You guys know what I'm saying. Only then can we hope to achieve the ambitious goals of the 2030 agenda. Now, do you see that part where they're talking about build back better? Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that we should conserve things. We should take care of our environment and all of those things. But I don't think that it's a global thing that should be globally handled. I think that that's something that we should do. And we could help other countries that want to do that. But for us to make global laws is that's pushing the boundaries of what it's going beyond our constitution and other countries' constitutions and their laws, and it's an issue. I think this globalism and this whole push on globalism is something that is rather scary when you think about where it could go, right? So, but I want to really, the author here used building back better, and he did it on purpose. And the reason is you've heard that before, right? You heard that in the campaign slogan of our president, but that is not where it came from. Do you guys know where build back better came from? I know this is where it's getting really weird, right? So Build Back Better actually came from Bill Clinton. The term built here, and I'll read it to you. The term Build Back Better was first introduced to UN, the United Nations Economic and Social Council, in July 2005 by former United States President Bill Clinton. And it was after this tsunami that they had, and they were talking about the relief, and when they were going to relieve, they were going to build back better. And so that is where it comes from. But if you go and you look at all of what the UN has on their website, and just go over there and go to the UN website and then see where Build Back Better takes you, and it talks about everything that we have seen in the last 2 years. As far as build back better, it talks about making a more a safer place away from viruses, a place away from racial inequality, which I mean I'm all about, right? We all people are created equal. But to see how this agenda is being pushed is really, really crazy. It's really crazy. And when you start looking into all of these things and how they're even now they're talking about wild meat being dangerous. And then you got a couple of these other articles. If you guys go looking at those articles that I printed, they even talk about creating more plant-based proteins and more artificial proteins. And where have we heard that? And so this is something that has been in the news, but it's all under a certain plan. And if you guys go look at that plan, it's Agenda 2030. Now, what's even a little bit more telling, and this is something that I'm sure is going to ruffle some feathers, and I know that, but at the same time, I have to say it because I found this out. These are things that I found out, and I have to say them, is do you guys know that Meat Eater was bought out by Peter Chernin? And if you look at Peter Chernin, and if you look at what he's done and who he is, it's a little bit weird when you wonder why in the world he would buy Meat Eater out, because he is supporting people that uphold all of these things that we just talked about. He's supporting those people. He has made campaign contributions to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Charles Schumer. And he held a fundraiser at his personal house for Barack Obama. So what in the world would a guy who believes in what's going on with Agenda 2030, and is, you know, if you go through and read about all the protein and all this stuff and the overpopulation of the earth and all that, why would he be buying into Meat Eater? Why did he buy that? And then what's going on with Meat Eater if he's got a hold of the controlling stock in it? Those are just questions you got to ask. You got to ask yourself. By supporting Meat Eater, are we actually helping what we believe in? Are we helping are we conserving hunting? And I know they talk a lot about that on their podcast, and I know that. But I just, those kind of questions I have to ask, because that just makes zero sense. So I just thought I'd bring that to you guys' attention. I had to say something when I started reading this stuff. And like I said, I will leave all of the notes to this podcast in the description, because I think it's important you guys be able to go back and look at this stuff. And the fact that, you know, the UN and the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum and all these guys are speaking this stuff, it's a little bit looming when you see how our world is going, and you start looking at, like, the climate crisis and greenhouse gases and why stuff is so expensive. And I know some of you guys are going to say, well, it's because of Russia. Well, okay, you could go there, I guess, but that doesn't take back what the current administration did the first day they were in office, and that was rolling back all those and putting in place all those regulations back on energy sector. So I try not to get too political here, but it's hard not to, because you see this globalism going on, and you see that being pushed down our throats pretty hard. And I wanted to bring it to you guys' attention. You can make all the judgments you want in the world about what you think about what's going on, but you cannot make a judgment about what this globalism is saying. And they're flat out saying it. They put it out in front of you, and you can read exactly what they're trying to do. So hopefully that helps you guys. I'll get back on track here with some other podcasts to help you with elk season. Elk season's here, but I had to bring this to the forefront. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening if you're still here. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Bear Bow Hunter podcast. Remember, We couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Barebow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Barebow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Barebow goodness in them, Barebow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.